Welcome to the New Mount Calvary official podcast. I am Pastor Sandra Dawson, and I am delighted that you found us out here in podcast world, our official podcast that we have recently relaunched so that we can provide audio content to inspire you, encourage you, challenge you, and help us to stay connected as a church family. I am the senior pastor of the New Mount Calvary Baptist Church of Los Angeles, California. And if you are in the Los Angeles area, let me be the first one to invite you to worship with us. Any Sunday morning, we are here at 11 a.m. on site and online. And we have our award-winning Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. also on site and on conference call. We also have prayer service every Monday night at 7 p.m. online. Well, I hope you will subscribe to our podcast through Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast information. Today's episode is a sermon that I preached a couple of weeks ago here at New Mount Calvary as part of our discipleship series. This is our year of education. One of the core values of New Mount Calvary is that we are a church built on education. And education in and of itself is not sufficient. We want to be discipled. We don't want to be, as the scripture describes, as those who are ever learning and never coming into the knowledge of the truth. So we want to be disciples of Jesus Christ. That's our goal. Not just members of a church, but disciples. And so I preached this sermon to kick off our discipleship series, Making Dynamic Disciples. It's entitled Step Out and Step Up. And the scripture is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, when Jesus calls his initial disciples. And there's a lesson there for all of us. I pray that you're blessed and encouraged by this word, and I'll be back at the end of the message. So I'm starting a new series today. That's why I wanted to save all my air. Thank you, Minister Hogan, for making those announcements. This is the year of education. This is the year that we are talking about moving from membership to discipleship and what that looks like. All of us, or most of us, know what it means to be a member of a church. You walk down here, you sign a roll, go to a new members class, etc. Get involved in an auxiliary. But how do we move from just being members of a church to truly being followers of Jesus Christ? And there's a book that I preached from a few years ago. I think it was Eidelman, Not a Fan. It talks about how we don't want to just be fans of Jesus Christ. You know, right now with the Super Bowl and all the various things that's going on, we see what fans look like, right? Fans show up. They know how to wear the colors. Fans get excited. Fans even get mad. I mean, I saw that this past season. Some people were just straight out mad. You know, I mean, and I will honestly tell you, I don't know that much about football, but the people that I was with, when they started throwing those flags at the last 2 minutes. Now, I don't know what happened at your house. They got mad. Fans can get emotional. Fans are passionate. But fans are different from followers. And a lot of times in church, we have fans. People who are fans of God. Fans of the church. They'll tell you, we were talking one day, I was talking with Minister Hedgman, and he was talking about, I meet people all the time that tell me, oh, I go to New Mount Calvary. And he's like, well, what day do you go to church? You come to that Tuesday service. And they love the ministry. But they don't serve. They don't show up. They don't really even know what we're talking about right now. They only remember what they learned 20 years ago. So are they a current follower or are they just a fan? See, I'm having to learn right now, Pastor Sims, that I've been looking for fans to show up. And God has been sending followers. And so I now have to embrace the followers. Because fans can also be kind of sometimey. You laughing at me. I may not holler today, but it sounds good to me already. I may be free of nobody but myself. So let's look at what Jesus said about this concept. Let me invite you to Matthew's gospel, the 4th chapter, the 18th through the 21st verse. Text says, I'm reading the New American Standard, but whatever version you have is wonderful. It says, now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, this is Jesus talking, follow me. Follow me. And I will make you fishers, King James says, fishers of men. This particular translation says fishers of people. Verse 20, immediately they left their nets and they followed him. Going on from there, he's already got, who's this, Peter and Andrew with him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And now they were in the boat with their father. And I'm going to talk about that later. The Lord helped me to stand here. And they followed, they were with their father, not get too excited, Zebedee, mending their nets. They were working. And he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father. And they followed him. Title of this sermon is Step Out and Step Up. We're talking about discipleship this month. Step out. It's not enough to just step out, but you also got to step up. There is a popular song, Reverend Beaver talked about it when she did a funeral not too long ago. A popular secular song says, I understood the assignment. Anybody ever heard of that in here? Now, for the rest of us, just Google it. Now, I was getting ready to say that. When you Google it, ask for the clean version and don't listen long. I was honestly like, oh my God. The lyrics are terrible. I'm saying that right now. As my grandmother would say, they're terrible. They're terrible. But the point is true. That in life, you got to understand your assignment. And this is also true for followers, not fans, of Jesus Christ. that we must be fully aware of what it takes to be a disciple. Well, what is a disciple? It's defined as a follower, a learner. So that means that not there were more than just 12 disciples in the New Testament. We're all disciples. We're all learners. We're all followers. This sermon series is entitled Making Dynamic Disciples, because dynamic is defined as continual. Continual. We're constantly growing. We're constantly evolving. We're constantly developing. That's why we have our church vision that we're growing. We're growing in the word. We're growing in our worship. We're growing in our witness, because we should not be the same this year as we were last year or even 5 years ago. We should see some growth, right? Shouldn't we see our lives in some way becoming more and more like Jesus Christ? Because that's what discipleship is. But it is not just church attendance. It is not just Bible study, and we love our Bible study. It is not just Sunday school. It's not just serving in auxiliaries. But discipleship is all of it. It's in our relationships with other believers. How we treat one another. Are we growing? And so if we are really ready to step out and step up, we can look to this story for four ways that we can show that we're ready to become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you look at the text, the situation contextually, Jesus is preparing now to call his disciples. He has not started his earthly ministry. His earthly ministry was only three and a half years. But even Jesus had sense enough to know that he could not do that work by himself. Why is it that we think that we can do the work of God by ourselves? There is an example right here that the Son of God, Jesus himself, who was God, had the good sense enough to know that he was going to need some help. It says that as he's preparing now to begin his earthly ministry, he says, I'm going to need some people to walk with me. And so in verse 19, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. First thing we see in the text is disciples are called. Somebody say disciples are called. Disciples are called. There were four men, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They were going about their normal day, doing what they normally do. They were fishermen. They were not great religious leaders. They were not Pharisees or experts in the scripture. They were regular everyday folk. In fact, they were uneducated, rough, smelly, stinky, what some would consider lower class fishermen. But Jesus did not worry about who they were when he met them, because he knew who they would become. So Jesus says to them, follow me. Answering that call would change their lives forever. As soon as they were called, they followed Jesus and went right into ministry. You can read it in the text yourself. He didn't send them off to school forever. He didn't tell them they had to go through this and that or the other, because he knew he only had a short amount of time. They had to hit the ground running. If you go home today and finish reading this text, you'll see that right from that moment, as soon as he called these four guys, they went into ministry. They started watching Jesus heal, watching Jesus teach, watching Jesus perform miracles. Why? Because in just a few short years, these regular, common, everyday people were going to have to take up the mantle of Jesus. They were going to be the ones who were doing the teaching. They were going to be the ones who were performing the miracles. They were going to be the ones who were leading in the church. And so Jesus knew when he selected them, he needed a couple things. He needed people who knew how to respond to a call. My brothers and sisters, when I thought about that, I said, God is calling us higher, right?
God is calling us as a church family. God is calling you, the ushers and greeters and the fit people who are here. He is calling us to a higher level of service. It's not enough to just show up on our day. God is calling us to be present and accountable 24/7 every day. But the answer is, will you answer the call? Disciples are called. And if you've ever received a call from God, you know you have. Is there anybody in here that knows that God has called you to do something? Don't be ashamed now. Just raise your hand. You know God has called you to do something. And when God has called you to do something, it's hard to tell God no. It's hard to tell God no. I know when I believe God had called me to be a minister. Oh, my gosh. Are the preachers in the house? I mean, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't rest. I tried to get out of it. I went to my dad. I said, well, listen, just give me my letter. But that was a way for me to get out. Send me over to that church where they like women preachers. I know you're not going to have none of that stuff over here. Just send me around the corner. But when God has called you, he will make a way for you. So the first thing we see in the text is that disciples are called. Is God calling you to do more? You already said you know when he's calling you. You already said you know how his voice sounds. Bible says that, what does it say? That my sheep, thank you, know my voice. You talking to him all the time. You praying all the time. You reading scripture all the time. What's he saying to you? What's he calling you to do on your job? What's he calling you to do with your family? All calls are not calls to do things in church. You can do ministry wherever you are. I'm going to get to that part a little bit later, but disciples are called. That's the first thing. They are called. And today we've got to be willing to answer that call. To not just be fans of Jesus Christ, but to be followers who are willing to be committed, consistent, and faithful. Can I say that part again? Yeah. Committed, consistent, and faithful. That's why I salute those here and those online. I have a member I talked to because she did respond to me yesterday. I hadn't been seeing her online virtually. I watched the chat. I told you I watched the chat. And there's a member that always says her name, always engages in the chat, always says hello. And I hadn't seen her in the chat, so I sent her that message. And I'm like, missing you in virtual worship. And she responded to me, and she said, well, Pastor, I've been out for about 6 weeks. I hurt my back. But how did you know? Because I'm watching your behavior, and you were consistent. You were committed, and you were faithful. Now, what would Jesus say to some of us? Is he watching our behavior? Are we still doing the things that we used to do? Are we reading the book, the Word of God? Are we praying? Are we consistent? Are we faithful? Are we committed? Because we've been called to this. A calling is not something you pick up today and you put down tomorrow. A calling will cost you. A calling is not a voluntary situation. It's as if being enlisted. I know when I talked to my niece, Sherry's daughter, and I talked to her about the military. And she checked me one time. You know, Lanae will check you. She checked me because I say I made the mistake, and there may be some military people in here. I made the mistake of saying to her, well, your job is just like mine. Because when I went to her base, she had to be at work at 8. And she got off at 6 or whatever, came home, cooked dinner. I said, it looked like that's what I do. I haven't been in the military. So she said, well, Auntie, let me explain something to you. If you decide right now you don't want to go, they're not going to arrest you. There is a difference between being a civilian and being enlisted. Enlisted means they gave up. And you got some military, your sons. Enlisted means that you gave up your rights. Come on. You hear me? You gave up your rights to your freedom for the service. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. This whole front row is ready to run. And so, being a follower, a disciple, is not just being a civilian coming and going as we please, doing what we want to do. We have been signed up for service. So disciples are called. And if you know the voice of God and you know he's calling you, then I need somebody to say, Lord, I'm ready. Lord, I'm ready. Lord, I'm ready. Second thing we see, go down to verse 20. Immediately, they left their nets. These are the first brothers, Simon and Andrew, and they followed him. Disciples, I'm going to stop right there. Here's point two, are willing to let go of some things. To let go of some things. Sometimes you can't go up until you let go of some things. Sometimes you can't get to that next level until you let go of some things. Some people, some stuff we enjoy, some habits. Disciples have to be willing to let go. Disciples are not just like everybody else. They've got to be willing to say, I am going to let go of the things that God does not want to happen or to have in my life. Immediately, they left their nets and they followed him. Can I explain what happened? They didn't put down a bad drug habit. They didn't put down something negative. They put down, thank you, their livelihood. They put down something that was benefiting them. Help me, Holy Ghost. They put down their future. They put down their expertise. I'm not going to make it about me. Let me make it about somebody else. How about those of you who went to school for one thing and then God called you to do something else that you never studied for? They put down what they had their dreams of. The first two, they put down the nets, which were the tools of their trade that their lives depended on, their families depended on, and they followed him. See, these nets were important because they represented their future and their present and their past all at the same time. Their past because it was all they knew how to do. Sometimes we're comfortable doing things because it's all we know how to do. It's how we were trained. It's what we were told. My mama did it. My daddy did it. We're a family of people that do fish. We are fisher family. We are the fishers. And we fish. Putting down that net means I'm now divorcing myself from what I've always known how to do. I'm divorcing myself in the present from what is feeding my family and taking care of me. And then I'm divorcing myself from the future because in the next case of the brothers, they had a father who was right there with them that they had some allegiance to. Wouldn't it be the right thing to stay and take care of that daddy? He didn't have much longer. But Jesus says, follow me. Sometimes the call is not going to make sense. Sometimes you're going to have to leave some people you show enough love. Sometimes you're going to have to leave them in the hands of the Lord. to answer the call. Disciples are willing to let go. What is God saying to you this morning? It's not just a song that girl sang on Frozen. But it's something that true disciples have to deal with every day. What is it that God is asking us to let go? Hebrews 12 and 1 says, therefore, since we also have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin. And that's right, Deke, the weight and the sin which so easily besets us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hebrew writer, what did you mean? He makes a distinction between the sin and the weight. He could easily say, just get rid of all your sin so you can run on. But he doesn't say that. He says there's sin and there's weight. And it's both of them that's holding you back. We understand sin, transgressions, missing the mark, doing the things God told us not to do. But we don't always understand the impact of the weight. And I'm not just talking about the physical weight. We understand how that works, and I can use that by analogy. If I decide right now, I know we got some people right now, health and wellness is training for a marathon, half marathon. And they send me a message, Pastor, you coming to the training? They even said, we're going to put you on FaceTime. So you don't have to come. We can be on your treadmill. But there's a problem. I got to lay some things aside if I want to make it 13 miles. Now you laughing, but you got to lay some stuff aside. I'm looking at you too. And so with the Hebrew writer and what we see in this text where Jesus tells them to put down their nets, he is saying, I need you to lay aside things that will weigh you down for the next level that I'm calling you to. Weight could be not necessarily a sin, but maybe you have an inferiority complex. Maybe you're not confident in yourself. Maybe you have some type of emotional issue that you're dealing with, depression. Weight can be a lot. Weight can be the problems you have with your family. It's not sin, but you guys just can't communicate. You just can't get along. Anybody ever had that? You don't know what's wrong with you and that person. You're like, we're family because we sure wouldn't be friends. I'm talking about weight. It's not a sin, but it's a weight. And so disciples have to be willing to let things go that are weighing us down. So they were willing to do that. They put the nets down and immediately, I'm on to verse 20. They left the boat and their father. They did not wait. They left that day. There was no hesitation. There was no delay. Now in the text, Jesus called two sets of brothers from two different families who owned fishing businesses. They were set up for life. That daddy was going to give those businesses to those boys. They had to let that father down, but they heard the call that said, follow me. They left a future to follow Jesus. They left all they ever knew. They left everybody they ever knew. They left the money and the skill that they had perfected over years. And with two words, they said, follow me. Because disciples are not called to be comfortable. They're called to follow. I asked you, are you enlisted or are you a civilian? Because disciples are not called to be comfortable or complacent. They're called to follow. So the first thing was disciples are called. Disciples are willing to let go. And here's the last thing. Disciples are willing to take a step of faith. That's the true mark of a disciple. That's the true mark. See, in the text, these newly called disciples had to make a choice. They could go with him or they could stay. Their faith was not real until it was acted on. They could claim to be followers. They could get a follower t-shirt. They could wear the follower colors and pendant. They could go to the follower pep rally every Sunday. They could do all these things, but it wasn't until they stepped out of the boat that they became disciples. It became real when they took a step of faith. When they stepped out, but they didn't just step out, because you can step out and still not do anything. They had to step out and step up. How were they able to do that? I'm glad you asked. If you go back to Hebrews 12 in the second verse, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, I just need to talk about Jesus. I just need 5 minutes. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And he is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Pastor, what does that mean? Jesus is our example. Jesus is our role model. Jesus is the way that we can do this. We cannot be disciples in our own strength. We cannot be followers in our own strength. We will give out. But if we look to Jesus. Anybody ever had to look to him? When you didn't understand something, anybody ever had to look to him? Anybody ever had to trust him? Look to Jesus. That's what the Hebrew writer says. And then we will be able to take that step of faith. There's no roadmap sometimes. Just Jesus. There's no GPS. Just Jesus. Yeah, that girl is doing all that talking. Alexa. Anybody else fight with Alexa? That's a first world problem. The people that's hungry don't even know what I'm talking about. But there's no guide. No Thomas guide. I got to reach all generations. Just Jesus. No family. Just Jesus. Their lives were never the same when they answered that call. Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. Here's what I love about this, and I'm coming to my end. Here's what I love about this. He says, I will take what you already do, and I will use the skills you already have, and I will help you and teach you how to win the world for Christ. He says, I'm going to take what you already know how to do, and I'm going to use it for my glory. See, sometimes we don't want to answer the call because we think we're going to become some kind of different person. We're going to grow an extra foot or something. that God's going to make us do some crazy, embarrassing stuff. But maybe he wants to take the testimony that you already have of how God helped you and blessed you and delivered you and kept you. And when you share that testimony at work or at the gym or wherever you go, he will use what's already in your hand. He says, I'm just going to take what you already know and I'm going to flip it. And I'm going to use it for my glory. You didn't go to school for this. But I can take what you went to school for. Where are my nurses right now? Where are my medical people? Where are my medical people? God's using what you already know how to do to minister to people who are hurting. They don't need another diagnosis. They need somebody in the room that says, God can. And God will. Where are my law enforcement people? Security. That's a skill to be able to stay calm and help people who are in crisis. When you are in that room and people are freaking out and you're able to say, God's got it in his control. He's using you right where you are. God used them right where they were. So answer the call. Because disciples are called. Disciples are willing to let go. Disciples are willing to step out and to step up. What would our church look like if we all took a step of faith? What would our families look like if we all stepped up, stepped out and stepped up? What would our country look like if we all stepped out and stepped up? I'll tell you what it looks like. It would look like Jesus. Jesus, the one who stepped out and stepped up. On a hill called Calvary, he stepped out and he stepped up. When you and I needed a Savior, and everybody else was not adequate, qualified, or available, he stepped out and he stepped up. It would have been one thing if he just stayed in heaven and let some kind of angel go to Calvary. But he didn't do that. It was prophesied that he would come himself. And he would give his life so that you and I could have a right to the tree of life. If there was ever an example of somebody who was called, of somebody who was willing to let go of everything, and of somebody who was willing to step up and step out and step up, it was Jesus Christ. And that is the definition of a disciple. See, we would have never heard of these men. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, who are they? Nobody. The only reason you know them is because they stepped up and they stepped out. When Jesus said, follow me, they could have said, who, me? I got a plan. I mean, I got it on my board and everything. I've invested in it. It's all I know. My mama did this. My daddy did this. God is saying, follow me. The reason you know their names is because they said yes. That's the only thing that made them special. I love that Jesus used regular people. I love that he used people that weren't always the most educated, weren't the usual suspects. You know, a lot of times in church, we just use the same people over and over. The people who we think are talented and gifted. But the only requirement was that they were willing to follow. So what am I saying? You and I, we don't have to have it all together. You and I, we don't have to know every scripture and every line. You and I, we don't have to be able to do all these wonderful things. We have to just be able to say, yes, Lord, and be able to follow. So I don't know about you. When judgment day comes, I don't want him to say, you were a great fan. You showed up at the Sunday pep rally. You wore your blue and white. You came on your day. You gave your money. Great fan. Great fan. I want him to say, you are a servant. You are a follower. And I want him to say, servant, well done. Is there anybody else that wants that besides me? You want them to say, servant, well done. I want to follow what these guys did, these nobodies. They said, I'm going to leave it all behind, even the people I love, because you said so. Can I pray for you? I pray for you. Pray for me, because I told you at the beginning of the message, I know what my struggle is right now. I'm discouraged because I'm looking for fans. Not all the time, but sometimes the enemy comes in. I'm just being honest. And if I know what's happening with me, I know what's happening with you. I'm saying, well, where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? Where's so? They've been here forever. Where's so-and-so? And the Spirit is telling me, look out. I'm sending you followers. Sending you followers. And in time, they may come back. Or they may find another place to serve. But you got to focus on who's in here right now. Building them up. Making them strong. Because disciples make more disciples. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word today. Thank you that we understand our assignment. Thank you that we say yes. We know we're not called to be comfortable. We're called to follow. And where you lead us, we will follow. We will go with you all the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's podcast episode. I pray you were blessed by the sermon. And I pray that you were challenged. I know I was when I preached it, that I have to step up. I have to step out because I want to be all that God has called me to be. And I want to follow him the way he is calling for us to follow him. I hope you will join us again. If you are ever in the Los Angeles area at the New Mount Calvary Baptist Church at 402 East El Segundo Boulevard. But if not, and you are a part of our online church family, thank you for your faithful and continued support of our efforts. We are a growing church, growing in the word, growing in our worship, and growing in our witness. And you are a part of that as well. God bless you and God keep you. And we will talk to you again when we have another episode here on our official New Mount Calvary podcast. Take care.